If you'd open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 18, we're continuing the whole series of this entitled, If Remember, Days of Heaven on Earth. And we looked at the first 2 weeks, we talked about all this in heaven too. And then last week we finished up a couple of weeks of lesson on some of God's priorities. And tonight we'll spend a couple of weeks on the thought, is anything too hard for the Lord? And if you need an outline, there's an outline back there at the back. Raise your hand if you need one. Brother John will deliver it to you. FedEx, UPS, whatever you prefer. He can make a paper airplane out of it and sell it to you, however you want. But there's outline back there if you need one. And it should last us a couple of weeks here. We're in the book of Genesis chapter 18. And I want you to begin reading. We're not going to read one verse tonight. We're going to read quite a few. This is a Bible drill. And Genesis 18, look at verse number 1. The setting is Abraham and the angel of the Lord comes. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, that after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. I want you to go back and notice at the very first part of verse 14, a question is asked by God himself. And he asks Abraham, who is, by the way, the father of what, everybody? The father of faith. And notice what he says here to the father of faith. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's interesting that the word hard here in the Hebrew means to be beyond one's power. Is there anything beyond God's power to do? It also means to be difficult to do. Is there anything that's too difficult for God to do? It also means something that is extraordinary. God, our God, is not just the God of the ordinary, is he? He is the God of the extra or the extraordinary. The title and the theme of this study tonight is suggesting the question, is anything too hard for the Lord. And the question I'd have for you tonight, what is your answer to that question? What is your answer to that question? You see, the father of faith, as well as Sarah, both believed that nothing was too hard for the Lord, but they laughed when it came to them. They were uncertain that God would do something for them. The extraordinary. The one thing that would be beyond their power, which, by the way, this would be beyond their power, as the scriptures clearly taught. In these days in which we're living, in 2020, we've seen a lot of things happen as we enter into October. And I think that I've seen quite a few, I can say, and sometimes even myself, where people have, Christians have been discouraged. And we see people that have been despondent, and people are doubting what's happening. And if you are in need of encouragement tonight, this message is for you. It will lift your spirit. If our faith needs to be built up, if it needs to be strengthened, if it needs to be fortified, then the message that God has for Sarah and for Abraham will also do the trick for you. And the same question that he asked them, he's asking you and I tonight. Is there anything too hard that's happening in your life right now for me to take care of? Any prayer? The circumstances in which he asked this question, is anything too hard for the Lord, was asked and has been presented before us. Look at with me at several passages of scripture tonight, in going all the way back to Genesis 15, concerning this question that God asked Abraham. In Genesis 15, beginning with verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels," very important, "shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed the Lord about this promise that God said, you will have a child from your own bowels. And you see all those stars, if you can count them, that will be the ultimate outcome of your lineage. Which, by the way, in those stars, if he began to count them, he was counting you and I as the children of Abraham. Because the children of Abraham are the children of faith. So he was counting, and you and I are a part of this promise. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? God loves doing the extraordinary, the extraordinary. Jump over to chapter 17 as we continue. Look at verse number 1 there. So the promise has been made. Verse 17, verse 1, "And Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am," look what he says, "the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Why? "And I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Now jump down to verse 15. "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Understand, folks, chapter 18 wasn't flying solo. It was built upon the promises of God. God was already telling him what he was going to do. So when we come to the phrase, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's all been established already what God was going to do. And he's doing things for us at the same time. And if we'd go back and search the scripture, we might find the blessing and the promise of God that he's made with us through Abraham or through scripture by faith that he wants to fulfill. And we question many times and even chuckle that he would do it for us. Look what he says in verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And of course, then we came to chapter 18. We read verses 1 through 14, and now we jump over to chapter 21. The promises are here. They're clear. There's no question. I mean, how many of us understand what God's telling Abraham in these passages? It's pretty clear, isn't it? There's no substitute. You're going to have a child. You're going to name this child Isaac, which means, by the way, what, everybody? Laughter. And then he comes and reminds him here. And by the way, it's amazing to me as I just think about the whole story. As the three men approach, Abraham sitting in the door, it's a hot day. He sees them, he gets up, runs to them, bows himself before them. Such incredible hospitality. Yes. And as they're passing through, they're stopping off to let him know about the blessing, to remind him of the promise, but they're heading somewhere. They're declaring there's going to be this wonderful gift, this wonderful blessing of this son. But we're on a journey because we're heading towards Sodom. And on the other end of it, we have the judgment and the sorrow, all in this process of this journey. And in chapter 21, I want you to notice what takes place here in verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah. Now look at that phrase, as he had said. I like it when we break down the scriptures. You see, everything's going to happen that we read as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah, look what it says here, as he has spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of this son of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being eight days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. He was 100 years old. Now watch. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Abraham is 100 years of age. Sarah is 90. And according to Genesis 18:11, it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, he's saying, humanly speaking, it was impossible for Sarah to bear a child. Humanly speaking, she could not. It's interesting that when we think about this, Abraham laughed first at the idea in chapter 17. Afterwards, Sarah laughs, and Sarah declares, you know what? When people see this, everybody's going to laugh. This is ridiculous. God loves to do the ridiculous that will make people just laugh. I cannot believe this. 90 years of age. By the way, when you're in the age bracket of 90 to 100, the Bible says you're old and well stricken in years, all right? And it's in this setting that God is asking Abraham, remember, is anything too hard, too difficult, beyond God for the Lord to do? We're going to consider five things over the next, this week, and hopefully get done next week on this study. And we're going to look at the scriptures here on how God loves to do hard things. Jeremiah 33:3 is a fantastic verse of scripture, which proves that God loves to do hard things, extraordinary things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me. God is declaring and asking. He challenges us to call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What's he saying? Things that are too difficult, humanly speaking. But remember, he called him in one of those chapters, chapter 17, the Almighty. So we're going to be looking at that, seeing that God, your God, because our God is Abraham's God. Our God is Sarah's God, the God of promise, the God Almighty, the one who has said these things, and he fulfills what he has said. That this God enjoys, he loves to do what we would consider impossible things. Matter of fact, in your handout, at the bottom of the sheet, it says impossible. But then the letters I-M are crossed out. We say, that is impossible. And God says, bonk, bonk, it's possible. As a matter of fact, he tells us in the New Testament that all what? All things are what? Possible to them what? That believe. To them that believe. All things are possible. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. Showing again that God loves doing the impossible. That there is nothing too hard for him. He did it for Abraham. We are the children of Abraham by faith. Ephesians, Paul writes to the church there in chapter 3. Look what he says in verse 20. Very familiar verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now watch, according to the power that worketh. What's the last two words? In us. The power that worketh in us. That power of faith, believing. So we ask the question to you tonight, is anything too hard in your life for the Lord to take care of? And by faith, the answer is no. Now, we might have a tendency to chuckle. God would never do that for me. You're in the same company as Abraham and Sarah. Even after they had heard clearly what God was going to do. Let's look at a couple of these things concerning, is anything too hard for the Lord? The first one, letter A, or number one, whatever you have on your sheet there. First off is there's no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. There is no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. We had talked earlier, I think on a Sunday, that there is an estimated 7,000 plus promises in the Bible. All of them are yes, and in him, amen. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says this in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Remember, we just read a verse that it's the power of God in us for the glory of God by us. So there's no promise. His promise, when God makes a promise, are you keeping your promise? Yes. Are you keeping your promise? Amen. Amen means so be it. So be it. Look at 2 Peter. Flip over to 2 Peter, chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Watch verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He calls it exceeding great and precious promises that are given, that we can become partakers of. We can partake in these blessings, in these incredible opportunities, if we will simply believe like Abraham. They are an absolute surety. When God makes a promise, you can hook your eternal soul onto them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's a promise. I'm basing my soul's eternity on God's word. He says, I will come again. I'm preparing a place for you. That's a promise. How many of y'all believe that? We trust him with those things that are eternal, that are out there, but we struggle with the days of everyday activity of life, the problems, the circumstances, the things that arise, the things that are not on our schedule that crop up, the hurts, the pain, the sorrows. Moses, in the book of Numbers, chapter 23. Listen to what Moses says here in verse number 19. I like this verse. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I mean, that's simple English, is it not? God says, if I've said it, I'm going to do it. I'm not a man. Men have a tendency. How many of us have had somebody promise to do something and did not come through on it? How many of us have perhaps made a promise that we didn't fulfill? Intentional or unintentional? It doesn't matter. God says, that's not me. That is not me. Abraham, I told you that you will have a son from your own bowels. It will come from Sarah. You don't need Hagars in your life. You don't have to work up your own scheme to work it out. Is that not what we do sometimes? Don't we start trying to figure out how we're going to work a situation out? I remember I was talking with somebody the other day, and I was reminded of an illustration of a pastor who had gone to visit a family. Their daughter had married an individual, and in that process, they had a couple of kids that had come about, and he ended up becoming a very ungodly, was being very unfaithful to his wife. It was breaking up their home and their family, and the father of their daughter had called the pastor. She was now staying with, and the grandkids with them, and they'd called the pastor to please come over, and he came over to talk with them and counsel with them, and he's speaking with just the parents of their daughter, and they were, her and the grandkids were in the other room, and the mother was getting frustrated about what they were dealing with, and she finally says, I just wish that she had never, ever met him. He had brought so much heartache and so much grief into our life. I wish she would never have met him. And the preacher goes, well, let's do that. Let's go back in time. Here's where they met. Let's make sure that they miss each other and they don't ever meet. Is that what you're talking about? Absolutely. He goes, well, then we have to also, if we make that work, we have to take away the grandbabies too. Those two precious grandbabies, if we're going to make it where they don't meet, then we have to take these babies away too. And he was trying to make them see that in spite of man's making messes of things, there's always some good that can be seen in it. And God can override any of our situations, folks. And here we see Abraham and Sarah are past anything that they can do. And you may be at a point in your life in a situation where there is absolutely nothing that you can do about it. God can. God can. Every promise that God has ever made will be fulfilled. And I believe that if there's that many thousands of promises in the Bible, I believe that there's a promise for every single need then. I want you to notice three quick illustrations here of what I would consider hard things if you slow down and see what's taking place that God promised and accomplished in Scripture. Just three quick ones. Number one, he promised Joshua that the walls of Jericho would fall. Did he not promise that? But also, he added something to that promise as well. He not only promised that the walls of Jericho would fall, but he also promised because that Rahab's dwelling, which remember was built into the wall, her and her family would be spared. And when the fulfillment of what was told Israel to do under Joshua's leadership, when they fulfilled the word of God and blew their trumpets and shouted, it says that the walls all fell inward. And here is this house on the wall. And by the way, I think there were several homes on the wall. I don't think it was just Rahab's, but hers was the only one that stayed there in spite of everything else falling down. Folks, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's in Joshua chapter 2. It was the promise. The fulfillment was in Joshua chapter 6. If you don't think that's too hard, why don't you go out and buy yourself a Lego set? Build walls up, if you wouldn't, make one of them have a house on it and try to break it up with it and make that one keep standing. We can't even do it with Legos, you know it? And yet God can make everything work down to the details. He promised the prophet Elijah that he would take care of his needs. He says, if you'll go to the brook Cherith, there shall the ravens feed thee. And the Bible tells us that the ravens came twice a day, and they brought meat and bread. He had the water to drink from. He had the meat. That might be a good dietary plan, folks. Only eat twice a day, huh? Moderation. And he had everything that he needed because God had promised. And understand, he was where he was supposed to be. Matter of fact, flip over, if you would, to 1 Kings. And I want you to notice two words in 1 Kings. Chapter 17. In verse number 4, we'll go back to verse number 2. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want you to circle the word there. Because notice what God told him. I said, God is instructing the prophet, go, he's hiding from a wicked Jezebel and Ahab, go over here, go eastward, here's the brook Cherith over there. I want you to go over and be there. Why? Because if you're not there at the brook Cherith over there, you're going to miss out on the promise. You see, because he says here in our text here, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You see, the ravens were going to be obedient, were they not? The ravens were going to be told, I want you to go take bread and meat to that spot. And they will be there. And if Elijah doesn't want to miss the promise of God's provision, he better be where God's commanding him to be, as well as the ravens. I think sometimes we might be missing out on the promises of God because we're not where we're supposed to be in our there. Notice what he says here as we go on in chapter 18. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, or still in 17, excuse me. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, which is because of the curse, the lack of rain, okay, the famine. And it came to pass that while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell, and look at that next word, there, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You see, God is making promises for him for provision, and as long as you are hearing the promise, obeying the directions, and you're there, your needs will be met, whether it's a raven or whether it's a widow. I remember years ago a pastor friend of mine, before I was even the minister, he was the first associate pastor that I was ever under, Steve Luma, and he was also the youth pastor, and he was moving on, he was leaving the church. And he was going to go take his first full-time pastorate. And he brought me to this place and reminded me that when you're in the place that God has for you, he will provide. But there may come a time, listen, there may come a time, he said, when your brook dries up. You know it's the will of God for you to be here. And when the brook dries up, when your provision ceases, God is redirecting you to another place to be there. And here he says this is exactly what God does. There is no promise that is too hard for the Lord. Whether it's the promise of bringing the walls down and leaving the home of one family up, whether it's to meeting of the needs, as long as we're at our there. In verse 4, he talks about there. In verse 9, he talked about there. And then there was the promise to a young lady. A promise to a young lady that she would bring forth a son. How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And it was the Virgin Mary. It was the Virgin Mary. Folks, let me ask you a question. Was it a hard thing for Mary to have a child? Was it a hard thing as for a virgin to have a child?
Impossible.
It's impossible. Was it too hard for the Lord? No. Why? He had already told them back in the book of Isaiah. Behold, I show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive the word of God. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is no promise. Folks, I think we need to get in and look for the promises of God and understand that there's not a single promise in there that you and I can claim that the Lord is too hard for him to fulfill. We're going to stop here tonight. We'll pick up on this next week. And we're going to look at four more things that we ask ourselves. Is it anything too hard for the Lord? And I think sometimes God in his wisdom and his love for us, he wants us to grow in our faith, in our reliance. Faith is simply defined as reliance upon Christ. And he wants to develop us. He wants us to grow and trust him. And I think sometimes God puts us in places, in circumstances, in situations to see that there's nothing I can do in this situation. I can do nothing. And when we acknowledge that, he says, but I can do all things. There's nothing, child, that is too hard for me. Our Father, we come before thee thanking you for the Word of God, thanking you for the statement, Lord, that you made, the question that you offered to Abraham, that you offer to each one of us tonight. Lord, I don't know the backgrounds, the heartaches perhaps, the concerns tonight that may be in anybody here, but you do. It says that you don't look on the outwardness, that you look on the heart. And you ask each one of us tonight concerning our own specific situation and circumstance. Is that too hard for me? Is that too hard for me? Is that too difficult? And we might say, Lord, we know it's not too hard for you, but we chuckle and we laugh. And that, but it's me. You wouldn't do that for me. And yet we see that Elijah, you told us, was a man of like passions as we. Nothing special. A man that was saved by grace. A sinner saved by grace. And we ask, Father, that you'd help us to see that you're a God that is no respecter of persons. And we ask, Father, that you would just help us to see you do things that are above all that we could ever ask or think in whatever our circumstance, whatever our situation is. And we'll be sure to praise you for it and declare it perhaps by your grace from the rooftops as a testimony. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.